Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that...
You're watching The Madness of a Lost Society. November 26, 2010. Black Friday revealed yet further evidence of the complete madness of the populace of our lost society.
In case you didn't hear, the leaders of China and Russia.
China and Russia said that they are renouncing the dollar.
The best way to think of it is a ticking time bomb. At some stage, the dollar will fall sharply.
Now, you might be saying, Neil, what the heck does this mean to me?
As the dollar loses status as the world's reserve currency, as mystery missiles launch just off our shores, as North and South Korea take the world to the brink of war, as the TSA violates all measure of liberty and constitutional rights, and as the U.S. military itself prepares for the coming total economic collapse and breakdown of civil order, this is what Americans care about. Wanton, lustful commercialism, acting like animals fighting over trinkets made by human beings for slave wages. As you watch this horrific video, do you think any of these people own a single ounce of physical precious metal? Any gold? Any silver? Do you think that even one of them understands what the Federal Reserve is, or that the Fed is spending them into oblivion and economic slavery? Do you think even one among them has made any preparations at all for the day when there is no food on grocery store shelves? And do you think the morally bankrupt executives at Target or Walmart even care? This is what we've become. A decadent, mindless culture who, by virtue of this complete and willful ignorance, are now officially complicit in the crimes being perpetrated against us. Do you think these people who behave like animals, literally trampling each other over $198 laptops and $10 toasters, will even pause for a moment to consider their actions before they riot and burn entire cities when the days of hyperinflation finally arrive? When the grocery stores are bare? When they are truly desperate? This, my friends, is what a dumbed-down, morally bankrupt, completely broken society looks like, and this is how it behaves. No outrage over the bankers raping them. No outrage over their gutted industry. No outrage over their plundered dollar. Just blind, wanton stupidity. Just bread and circuses. The elite.
All right, everybody, how you doing? My name is Joseph Gibson. It's Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting from Greensboro, North Carolina, a little after 6 p.m. on the East Coast. Hope everybody's doing okay tonight. I know I asked a few people to call in tonight. There's several issues that I do want to discuss real quick before I go to the phone lines, because I always try to make sure that callers are they're the most important part of the show, the people that call into the show and voice their opinions or comments, even if they're, it's not on topic. And I always make sure of that, and that's what I advertise. I'm not like other shows where, you know, they say, I'm going to start taking calls at 9 o'clock, and then 9:50 rolls around, and, you know, there's 10 minutes left to the show, and you got to hurry up and make your point. No, that's not the right way to do things. If you're going to say something, you know, stick by it. You know, say what you mean what you say. That's just what I believe. Well, that's the way I'm going to run this program. But there's a few issues that, like I said, I wanted to bring up concerning this program and former guests that have been on this program. There was a guest here. I had his story up here a minute ago. I'm going to punch it up real quick. He was a guest about a month ago on this program, and I'm pulling it up right now. I have the other story right here in my hand. Just give me a second here. His name was David, and if you remember correctly, it was a CPS story, but there's an update about his case and what has happened to him. And I'm gonna, it's real quick. It's not that long of a story, so I'm going to go ahead and read it to you. Like I said, he was a guest on this program. David and Colette Stephen of Alberta, Canada, were sentenced after the widely publicized death of their son, Ezekiel, and subsequent court trial. Some supporters of the family openly wept when David was sentenced to 4 months in prison. But many of those same reporters were relieved that Colette will not be in prison, but will be under 3 months of house arrest. Okay, the sentiment is that at least, you know, they will get to be with their children again, their other children. After a back-and-forth bout with the croup and a flu-like symptoms in 2012, court testimony showed that the eight-month-old little boy seemed to bounce back before suddenly taking a turn for the worse. As Health Impact News has previously reported, there was a great deal of expert testimony and evidence presented that demonstrated that the child would most likely be alive today were it not for serious failures on the part of the medical system. Because of the negative press, there is a high-profile case. This is a high-profile case. David is in solitary confinement and told his wife that he didn't see the sun for 5 days straight. So basically, you all know if anything about prison, solitary confinement, you're locked in a concrete cell, 10x6. Sometimes you actually even have a cell partner, and you're basically locked in there 24 hours a day. If you're let out, you're put into a cage, sometimes a bigger concrete room. So it's not a fun place to be, unlike what the TV says or these other idiots out there. I believe prison is a party, and the inmates are eating steaks, and, you know, they're watching cable TV, all courtesy of you, the taxpayers. But anyway, the rumors and twisting of the facts in the media have endangered David's life. Colette told Health Impact News her husband is in solitary confinement out of fear for his safety after the media has painted him as a monster instead of the kind, loving father that he is. Now, he was on this show. A lot of you met him. We asked him questions, and we spoke with him. And so this is what's happened to him. So another update real quick, because like I said, we don't want to dwell on that. I just want to give the supporters and listeners an update, because I know there are people who heard that show that are listening tonight. This is an interesting story that I wanted to attack. Like I said, before I get to the callers, I just want to lay out the platform and what I plan to do tonight, and then I'll take the calls. Okay, this is very serious, actually. This is a former guest also that was on this program. And I was thinking to myself today, wow, all my former guests... they kind of end up in trouble one way or the other. I mean, we all remember Rachel the day after she spoke to me on a show that was well-publicized, had many listeners. She was court-ordered not to talk to the media ever again. So here we are. Alabama judge threatens Health Impact News reporter. And I've been in contact with Terry LaPointe. Terry LaPointe is a reporter for Health Impact News. It's a well-respected newspaper, journal, and she's a journalist and a very good writer. And here's the article here. In a move that can only be interpreted as an attempt to restrict free speech and deny the First Amendment right of freedom of the press, Alabama Circuit Judge Corey B. Moore had Impact News reporter Terry LaPointe escorted into his courtroom yesterday to give her a stern warning. Investigative reporter Terry LaPointe commented, "I had no idea that I'd be taken into court today. I was simply outside the courtroom as a friend of the family. When they called me in, I was only dressed in a T-shirt and jeans, since I never intended to enter the courtroom." Mrs. LaPointe was at the courthouse with the Prince family, who had a hearing that day regarding one of the newborn babies that was taken away from the parents by DHR recently. Mrs. LaPointe has reported on the family and their fight against Alabama DHR, which has removed two newborn nursing babies recently while still in the hospital at the time of birth. Her original story quickly went viral and was read by over 1 million people in the first 24 hours. Okay? Mrs. LaPointe relates how the court-appointed attorney for one of the young mothers who was at court that day explained to her that the lead counsel for DHR allegedly wanted to call her in and put her on the witness stand. They were allegedly upset with our reporting on these stories. The attorney appointed to the family allegedly objected, stating that she had no legal counsel at the moment and was not part of the case, but the judge ordered her to be brought into the courtroom anyway. Once Mrs. LaPointe was escorted into the courtroom, Judge Moore asked her what her name was and forbid her to record anything. He then told her that because she did not have legal counsel present, she did not have to make any comments or answer or any questions. Mrs. LaPointe reports that Judge Moore then warned her that she should retain legal counsel and become familiar with the confidential laws regarding juveniles in Alabama. The court-appointed attorney for the Prince family then apparently told Mrs. LaPointe on her way out that this was not strictly a gag order, but the judge was upset and wanted her to play ball. What kind of ball? Dodgeball? Y'all remember that game, huh? When you stood there and everybody got a chance to kick the ball at you. Play ball. The hell is that supposed to mean? The article goes on and on and on. You can look it up at the on the internet. It's there. It is a big media story today. Like I said, 1 million people read this story within 24 hours. So, and I'm glad to be reporting on it, and I'm glad to be in close contact with Terry LaPointe, and she was a former guest of this program also. So, and she will give us exclusive updates, I promise you that. So we will get something that maybe CNN or Fox won't get first. So you need to know that. And this is a big story, folks. It really is. You need to check it out. Okay, someone needs to post it in the chat box so people can look it up in the chat room. If you can't find her story, which I seriously doubt, all you got to do is look it up, medical kidnap, or look up Terry LaPointe. You'll find it. Or type in Alabama judge threatens Health Impact News. You'll find it all over the internet. But anyway, those are the stories that I am covering right now, and I wanted to cover real quickly. And there are things I want to address tonight, and I will. However, I do have some callers on the line, and like I said, I take priority to the people. They may have something important to share with me. They may not. They may just want to comment. And as I've stated in the past, I'm not like other shows. I give my listeners priority. It's not about my big mouth like other shows where, you know, they get angry and they have to say what they have to say first. And you all know what I'm talking about. You know, I like I said, I make sure there's time for the caller. So I'm going to go ahead. The first guy that was on the line, I have three right now on the line out of 40. Three out of 40 that have pressed the number one. So I'm going to push. I'm going to go ahead and connect the first one that was first. Just so you know the order, I'm going to let you know right now. Area code 206, you're second. I'm going to go ahead and connect you second. And area code 509, I'll connect you third. Okay? So be patient. Go ahead. This is Mike from Wisconsin. Go ahead, Mike. You pressed one first a long time ago. What's up?
Yeah, this is Mazda. How are you today?
Oh, okay. I got the wrong guy, obviously. How you doing? What's on your mind, sir?
Nothing. I mean, except, you know, this Islamic terrorism in Turkey really shook the world. And, you know, it's these people are a bunch of godless. These people are a bunch of idiots. These people are a bunch of lowest class of the citizens of any country. They will be
attacked. Where are you calling from, if you don't mind me asking first? You don't have to give your name, but where are you calling from?
This is Mazda. I'm calling from North America.
Okay, that's fine. That's all you have to say. Okay, fine. All right, go ahead. Continue. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted the listeners to know where you were calling from. Go ahead,
sure,
sir.
Sure. And this new terrorist attack in Turkey really shook the whole world and shook whole United States as well, too. And these people, as I said, these people are not Muslim anyway. But, you know, although they say they're Muslim, but they're not Muslims by any means.
So what are you saying the terror attacks in Turkey and other places that have been pointed out recently, they are not Muslims that are carrying out these attacks?
I mean, no, they're Muslims, yes. But in the eyes of the community, they are not Muslims because, you know, Islam will not do that, my friend. Remember that.
Oh, okay.
Christianity doesn't do that. So if a Christian go kill somebody else, then you are not a Christian. Absolutely.
Okay.
Sir,
are you a Muslim? Are you a Muslim?
No.
Okay.
By no means I am trying to... you know, say that, yeah, they are Muslims. Who they doing it, they are Muslims. But in the eyes of the majority of the people, they are not Muslims doing it. Because if any religion teaches to kill, it's better not to have religion than to have a religion, sir.
Yeah, okay, I understand what your point is, but tell me, sir, the Muslims made, this is not their practice. However, doesn't it not say in the Quran that if you, to befriend an infidel and trick him, and then if he doesn't convert to Islam, he is worthy of death?
Yes, absolutely. In hadith, they say that, yes, absolutely, what you say. I mean, I'm not here to defend anybody, you know. I'm not here to, I'm just here just to say, you know, that, yes, although they say they're a member of the ISIS or other organizations, but technically, you know, is not Islamic in practice. But, yes, in Hadith, in Quran, they have said that, yes, me and you are infidel. I'm infidel myself.
Okay.
And we have no right to be in the planet. Yes, I understand that. And I'm not denying that.
Okay, we have an agreement there. So, what is your exact concern? What do you want to bring? Because there's a lot of people on the line tonight listening, and I have other callers, so I'll get to you, don't worry. But what is the concern that you want to bring to my attention or the people listening tonight? What is your concern that needs to be exposed in your own words?
My concern is basically the conditions of the whole world is upset right now. And, you know, that the Holy War is coming. There is no question. The cross will be the banner, and our swords will be armed with the sword of spirit. and the hilt of the sword will be gripped in the trowel of mighty Christendom. So there is a war between Christians and Islam is coming. There is no question about it. But the question is, are we ready?
Exactly. Are we prepared for this? And for the people out there, what is your definition of the holy war exactly? Because I don't want people to get the wrong impression that you're inciting any type of violence, which I know you're not. I exactly know what you're talking about. I just want you to explain, what is the holy war in your personal opinion?
Holy war is the way I've seen it in many, 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 many thousand years ago. You know, that if you look at Islam, they have what they have done, it was holy wars, into holy wars and into holy wars, to make forcefully, to make people same as themselves, or you will be basically, you know, beheaded.
To believe a certain, to believe one way, to believe one way, their way, only their way, right?
Their way or highway, let's put it that way.
Exactly.
And that's not acceptable to mankind anymore. And we are mad as a hell, and we cannot take it anymore. And basically, they should know that they rape our 5-year-old girl in Idaho. And what has happened is still there is a cover-up regarding that in the media and government. I'm sure you know the Twin Falls, what happened.
Yes, I heard of it. And listen, I know tonight, you know, we had a particular plan and I wanted you to expose what you had to say, but I would appreciate it if you came back and I will analyze that topic and bring it up and talk about it. And if you want to comment on it, by all means, the next show I broadcast on Sundays and Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you're more than welcome to come back, okay?
Sure. But the question is, you know, is our Canadian, you know, the refugees went in Canada right now. So what's happening, the 16-year-old girls in the classroom are very mad, very intimidated by the refugees right now, and they are basically so afraid because now they cannot dress as usual. Now, because of them, they have to dress pretty much head to the toes if they don't want any attacks on them. So this is...
That's right. We as a people cannot tolerate that. And I'm glad you stand up for freedom. I'm glad.
I always stand for the freedom and justice because these people, they don't know justice. They are un-American, un-Canadian, and un-European. And they don't like our lifestyle. And indeed, what they like is to bring their own Sharia law. Imposes on mankind, and that's called Islamic New World Order, and we cannot accept that. We accept...
You're absolutely correct. You are so correct. You're absolutely correct, and I'm glad that you called in and made that point because that's so important, and that's one of the topics of this program. We have to understand the times in which we live in today, and we're not going to tolerate this tyranny that is spreading across our country. But, sir, I must get to some other callers, but you're always welcome to check back in, okay?
If you like, you can put me hold, and then I can re-talk to you if you want.
Of course. That's what I will do. I will not hang up on you. I don't hang up on anyone. Of course. Thank you, sir, for contributing. I have to get to the man second that was in line tonight. Let's see. Area code 206. I believe this is Tone. Hey, Erico 206, Tone, go ahead. I'm doing all right. Where were you on Sunday?
You know what, brother? I felt so horrible. I honestly forgot. I was trying to remember, but I was watching a nephew, and it totally slipped my mind. By 4:15, I was so devastated to find out I missed it.
That's okay. It's okay. I understand. And I'm sure, and I know you're being honest. And that's what I said. I was actually talking to Dr. Ventura today. But the last caller brought up an interesting subject. And, you know, in this country today, we're being paralleled by these different factions of religion that are coming across our borders. And look, this is how we actually came about, this Orlando shooting in Florida, you know, where the gentleman was proclaimed to be a Muslim who thought homosexuals should be put to death. Now, we know, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there where there may have been one or two or three or four shooters and blah, 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 and you weren't there and neither was I, so who knows the truth? From what we do know, 49 people are dead for no reason.
Oh, I know. It's disgusting. I got one thing to say. Didn't that last caller kind of sound like the Godfather? I'm not trying to make fun of him anyway, but he really reminded me.
He kind of did it away, and that's actually a compliment because he talks with very direct respect. You know, like, hey, this is what I want to say, and I got you.
I agree, and I come from North America on this day of my daughter's funeral. You know, it's just killing me. The whole time it was killing me. But he brought up
some very, very interesting points and a subject that needs to be addressed. And I appreciate that. I really do. And that's, I like new people to call in and talk about these issues. And now I talked about some things in the beginning, but Tone, I do want to keep you on the program. But I've got so many callers tonight.
Can I just address one thing that the man said?
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
If you don't mind, if you have to get to other callers, brother, I totally understand.
No. Go ahead, Tom. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, when he was talking about, I agree with him to a point. We really do have to watch the extremists, and everything that's going on, nobody really understands it at all. Being a person who served in the military and saw what was going on in these other countries and how Islamic people live, a lot of them are very good people. And it's hard to pick out the bad from the good, okay? And it's
Tone, hang on, not to interrupt you here, but I have to. Like I mentioned with the caller, in the Quran, it states very clearly, homosexuals are worthy of death, and if you're an infidel, and he admitted he was an infidel just like I, and surely you are too, unless you're a Muslim, if you do not convert, they have the right to befriend you, lie to you, and if you don't convert, have a right to kill you. Are these the people we want in America today?
I don't know. Are Christians the people that we want when they're trying to, their Bible, your Bible even says that unruly children should be killed. I mean, it doesn't mean that you have to hold up to it. And it matters on how different people interpret it.
That's true. But you must admit, though, the Constitution was reflected and written after the King James Bible. And we are the most freest country around the world today, where, you know, well, at least we were. Today, I mean, we see our liberty slipping away today, every day, and we're becoming a country of tyranny and governmental infliction upon our daily lives.
Sure, but at the same time, Christianity wants to impose rules on us. I mean, even the show wants to prove that evolution isn't true. You want to teach it in classrooms. I mean, that's a religious belief that you want to have, kind of like a Sharia law in Christianity. You want to have, like you said, no homosexuals should be around. It's kind of the same thing. So, yes, I find it very scary that any religion hates anybody for no good reason. And
Christianity does not hate the individual. They hate the sin.
The Quran hates the individual.
No, not necessarily. Are you going to sit here and tell me that there are Christians out there that wouldn't take you or anyone else that was a homosexual? Just say if a homosexual wanted to knock on my door and said I needed help and I found out he was a homosexual, if I was a Muslim, I'd have to kill him. But as a Christian, my job is to try to save them. But okay,
that is not, once again, do you love your enemy?
Of course I love my enemies. I mean, I have to.
Okay.
I'm a Christian, but doesn't mean I don't carry my sword at the same
love
time.
For them. What's that?
Well, the Bible doesn't talk. What do you mean unconditional love? I don't understand.
Well, if you look up the definition of love, which we can look it up right now, we both can read it, and let's see if you really love your enemy. Because then if you don't, then you're not following the teachings of Christ, which makes you not a Christian, correct?
Tone, this is a problem we get into with Scripture now. You have to rightly divide the word as a work. Well, listen now. Come on now. You have to rightly divide the word as a workman approved unto God, as it states in 2 Timothy. You know, the Bible explains itself and answers itself. It's a very, very interesting book if you could rightly divide the word. You cannot take one verse and apply it to your life and say, that's me. You have to take the entire Bible and rightly divide it and apply that to your life. Now, what do you mean love my enemies? I love my enemies, yes. But I should save my enemies from sin, shouldn't I? Don't you think I should?
That makes you God if you're saving. If you are saving people and it's your actions that are doing it, it's not God, correct? You have the power to save people, or does God?
What did Jesus say, Tone? Go on to the world and preach the gospel,
He said to love thy enemy and not to judge others.
No. Where did he say that, Tone? Do you have your Bible tonight? Do you have your Bible with you tonight?
I do have my Bible. In fact, I got all the contradictions for you, too.
Good. Tone, just hang on. I got one other person that's been waiting a long time. Just hang on. I'm going to get back to you.
I promise.
Who
is it? It's not Sue, because I was hoping
she
got
not sure.
help. I'm not sure,
but I have to. Tone, I have to give everyone. I have to give everyone that right to speak. So,
of course, brother.
I'm
going to
go ahead and connect them. Okay. You know, if anyone becomes rude or starts screaming and yelling, of course I've got to mute them. But area code 509.
Problem.
Go ahead. Area code 509. I'm going to leave you on. Go ahead, 509.
Okay. Hey, Joseph.
Okay, it's Sue. How you doing, Sue?
You?
I missed you the last couple shows. Where you been?
There's been a lot of craziness going on. The stuff going on with the court, they are definitely trying to take the rights of people away to be able to have a trial by jury, if you know constitutional law or civil rights. Because we won't agree to take something. So Monday was kind of a set-up court hearing, which I did not go to. That way, if I am brought in, then I can explain why I didn't. And that's because I sat and listened to the prosecutor and the public defender telling the prosecutor.
Okay, Sue, real quick, explain
yes.
to the new callers exactly what, because you got to remember, I know your story and some others do, but we got so many new people on the line, so they might be lost. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So if you could just give a little background. Okay. I hung up an American flag on the house I was staying in to recover from a heart attack. There were some homeless people that had been in a garage that had cut my internet wire and wired it to the garage. They pirated my internet service. I contacted the police. Police came out, said there was nothing they could do about it. So it's yours. It's a civil issue. It has nothing to do with us. So I pulled the wire because I was paying for the internet service. And when I pulled the wire, then the police came back and arrested me, claiming malicious mischief under domestic violence, which had nothing to do with domestic violence, but under domestic violence, they can take your gun rights away.
Wow.
So they took me to jail, held me for 4 days. They refused to let me see a judge. The judge is claiming they had a conflict of interest to get with me because I knew constitutional law and our civil rights.
So, Sue, because you knew the law, this is key, because you knew your constitutional rights, this is the reason why they are coming after you, correct?
Correct. And while they had me detained and refused to let me go back near my house, my truck was sabotaged, so my truck is not drivable. So I have been trying to, since then, get a vehicle, and this is what I'm actually adding to the rest of the story. there have been several dealerships, and this comes down to more lies, more fraud, more corruption. They take out two pages in a newspaper saying, you know, zero down, no payments till September. We don't care if you got good credit, bad credit. Your mama won't loan you money because your credit sucks so bad. we'll finance you zero down 100%. So you contact, and that would have been like Leonard Evans in Wenatchee. And then they don't want to do that. They want you to put $2,500 to $5,000 down in order to get into a vehicle. It's all a scam just to get people to come in. So
I understand that. We know the banking system is a scam. We all know that.
So today I go online to try to lease a car rather than to buy one. And I pull up a thing. Again, it says zero deposit, 100% approved. So I go in there. It brings up, I'm at Bud Clary Chevrolet right now. I called here before I came, and I said, look, I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste your time. This is what your ad says. Are you really going to honor it? The salesman went and talked to the general sales manager, and he come back, and he says, yes, if you're interested in like a Tundra Toyota, we'll honor it, zero down. And, you take over the lease, take a lease. So I come in here. And here we go again. Now they want a down payment. So I offered them a minimal because your thing says zero down, and I know this is just their profit.
Okay.
So when the general sales manager came to talk to me, I explained to him, but my phone has an alarm on it when your show comes on, so it went off. And I said, look, I'm supposed to go on this radio show. And I said, you need to let me know what you're going to do. Are you going to honor your ads or not? I said, because I'm going on there to talk live. Well, our business is done. We're done. And I said, why?
Really?
I'm just simply asking you if you're going to honor your ad. So I'm standing out in the parking lot right now. Supposedly they've got to run it, but they wanted to give me this story of how, today's the last day of the month, so it could take a while for it to come back. It takes 45 minutes. I've already been approved through other banks for a loan. My point was they said zero down. And with everything that has happened, I need the money, as much money as I can, to deal with all the legalities and the other crap I'm dealing with. I've lost my home.
Sue, this is what we need to do. Okay? I agree with you. What we need to do is schedule a program where I can call this dealership and find out exactly what their policies in terms of sale is, or you need to email me and we'll go from there. Now, I've contacted the sheriff's department for you before and on the line, and I will help you. But right now, we can't really get into, a whole show on that.
I understand. I just
want to
let you know what's going on.
Yeah,
you know what's going on, and I don't know what it is, if it is a connection to these that the government has targeted, but even rental cars. Last week I checked on a rental car. It was going to cost me $22 a day for the car. 3 days later, I go back in to reserve it. The rate has now gone from $22 a day to $210 a day. That's the cheapest.
Yes, no,
and then
when
you click on it to reserve them, it tells you that there are no cars available.
Tone wants to make a comment. Hang on, because I still have the other caller on hold, and I haven't forgotten about you, sir. I will not forget about you, I promise you. But go ahead, Tone. Respond to Sue real quick, because I've got to get to some other things here.
Sure. Sue, unfortunately, the car dealerships are allowed to refuse service. That's the reason why an ad could be on there and say that you can have...
They're not allowed to blatantly lie. They are not allowed to blatantly lie and put out false advertisements. No, because you're falsely advertising.
Well, hang on, Sue. Hang on.
And
you're right.
And you disgrace people, and you don't want anyone saying anything to you.
No,
hang on, Sue. No, hang on. Deceptive. Hang on. Tone and Sue, hang on. Deceptive sales practices is actually against the law. Deceptive sales practices. You cannot...
Sure.
Unknowingly bind somebody to a contract, because a contract is what, Tone? A two-party deal. You can't have a one-party
But that's not a contract.
You know?
But she's not in a contract right now.
Oh, but they make
right
it
now.
Into
false
one, though.
False advertisement is a crime, too.
Can I just...
False advertisement is a crime as well.
Sure. Hang on, Sue. Let Tone say it. Go ahead, Tone.
I think the best thing that you can do if you're really looking for a car is pay your bills in the first place so you don't have bad credit, genius.
Well, asshole, my bills are paid. It's the government that didn't pay their bills. My bills are paid. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the government didn't pay. As a veteran, when they claim you're covered 100% under medical, then don't pay your medical bills and it ends up on your credit. When they disable you, say they guarantee you a student loan that they will pay for, and then they don't pay for it. That's what's on my credit, defending your sorry ass.
Hey, Sue, hang on. All right, stop, hang on. Sue, do you have my email address?
No, I don't. I don't have access to a computer. I told you that a while back.
No computer,
no credit.
Will you have access to a phone?
No.
Hang on, Tone, because I'm going to give you the floor next.
Tony, your day's coming, okay? You need to shut your flap. You will meet the descendants of the house of David one day.
Guys, hang on. These, for everyone else that's listening, these two individuals have a very, very different opinion about a lot of things. So, those of you that may be confused because of
God, and the God he believes in is a God of man, which is a God of corruption, a God of lies.
I believe in
a God
paying
of
my bills.
Okay, hang on. Sue, do you have my phone number? Do you have my phone number?
I have this number right here. All right, let me give you another number
because I... Sue, hang on. Do you have a pen?
Hold on, and I will grab one. Yes, I have one.
All right, grab one, and then I'm going to get to Tone, and I got to get to the gentleman who's been waiting patiently also. But I got to give Tone his say also. And if there's anyone else who wants to speak, please press 1 because I've got a couple things I have to actually get to, and I promised somebody I would, and I don't want to lie to them. So, and it's interesting for everyone to really pay attention and listen to this also when I do get to these issues because they're important to all of us. Sue, are you there?
I am.
You ready, Sue?
I am.
Okay. 336. 419-7236. Call me sometime tomorrow and we'll get into this and set something up, okay?
Okay.
How
are
you,
Sue?
Okay. And what's lower, your credit score or your IQ?
Okay.
Tony, go to hell. Go to hell, Tony. Oh. That's where you belong and that's where you're bound. But in the name
okay.
of
okay,
Jesus
okay,
Christ,
guys. Okay.
you will
guys,
be bound.
Guys. All right, Sue, Sue, stay on the line because I'm going to be dealing with CPS in a little bit here. So it's going to be interesting. So, Sue, just stay, please, stay where you are. And Tone, okay,
yeah,
now back to you. I know we have a lengthy discussion here. Okay, back to what
sure.
we were talking about. Before I get to the gentleman who called in the first, he actually, I believe he was the first caller, and I don't want to keep him waiting forever, but I do have a platform here that I try to stick to. Tone. Go ahead.
Sure.
Pick up where we left off, you and I.
I didn't even know where we left. Oh, sorry, that was a Sue seed or a sunflower.
Well, you said you had your Bible. You said you had your Bible handy. And you were going to read some stuff to me.
Oh my God! This whole time I was all factuated with Sue. Right now, I love her stories. To be honest with you, I really do. It's entertaining. Yeah, I have it all right here.
Go ahead.
Contradictions of the Bible.
Okay.
Let's go. You have your Bible with you, brother?
Yes, I do. That's the King James
okay,
Bible,
perfect.
Not one of those NIVs that have been rewritten. And but anyway, well, that's another show. But go ahead. Yes, I got my Bible. Go ahead.
Okay, so for example, let's just do something as plain. You said that it's a perfect book, right? We're going to talk about something very simple. What color was Jesus' robe? Because the Bible says two different colors.
What does the Bible say?
The first one says that Matthew 27:28, they stripped him down and put on a scarlet robe on him, right?
Okay.
And
okay.
Then,
what's your point?
The other one says,
what's your point on his robe?
Well, this one says scarlet robe, and John 19:2 says that soldiers twist him off, and then they put a purple robe on him. And what I'm saying is these small contradictions, and that one I just gave something very simple as a color. This is supposed to be the as easy as it's supposed to be God writing this down, correct? Even though each author writes it
No. Yes, it's God. It's God inspiring man to write the Bible. Yes, it's kind of like, say, I'm sitting here in my office right now all alone, and God overcomes me, or an angel for me, and inspires me to write His book. That's what that means.
Okay, and then also I wanted to tell you too. Every day this week, even though I missed a Sunday on your show, I've done what you asked me to do. I've gone on my knees,
okay,
and I've prayed to Jesus, and I did the prayer that you asked me to do, and I've done it sincerely. I honestly already believe in Christ. I am a Christian, but I did it to make sure I'm going to continue to do it for the next week, because I promise I'll do 2 weeks instead of just one day for you.
Whoa. You can't tell God how long you're going to determine for Him to come into your life, Tone. You know that. No.
I'm saying you told me on the last show to just do it once, and I said I would do it for 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, I did say that. You're absolutely correct. I said believe honestly in your heart. This is what I said for all others out there who don't know Jesus. This is what I told Tone, because there's many different callers on the line, and then I want to get to the next caller, and I'm going to ask, and Sue dropped. I asked her to stay on the line, but see, I don't like that. When I ask someone to stay on the line and hang on, you have to do it, okay? Because then you're going to mess up the call lines, and then you're going to get mad at me if I don't connect you. But anyway, that's fine. Everyone has a right to do as they wish. But anyway, this is what I told Tone last week. If anyone doesn't know, we've been discussing evolution, the realistic of the Bible, if it's true. Okay, I had Dr. Peter Ventura on this program. He was listening in earlier. He's dropped. We scheduled another a theological discussion for last Sunday. However, Tone, he apologized. He could not make it, which is fine. Maybe we could do it again in the future. However, I challenge Tone to do this. And that's what I challenge everybody. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're trying to find Jesus Christ, you're trying to find God in your pews, get on your knees all alone by yourself and have a clear mind, a clear heart, clear conscience, the best you know how, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life and believe honestly in your heart that He rose again and His blood was to wash away your sins and the rest of the world's sins. Believe that in your heart. And if you do not see a change in your life, if you do not see a change, and I'm not talking about winning $1 million. I'm not talking about getting a Corvette. I'm talking about a change spiritually within yourself, in your mind, in your conscience, in your heart, then I guess I'm a liar. And that's what I told Tone last week. So that's the point he's trying to make. So go ahead, Tone.
Oh, yeah, and I wasn't putting you down in any way. I want you to know that about your religion. I'm really honestly trying to do it because I feel – I search for truth. So if God comes to me, I will admit to you on the show. But I've been searching for truth for over 13 years, and I'm still searching for it.
Okay. Hey, that's awesome what you just said. That's awesome. I love that. Great. And you're being honest. That's the best thing in the world to do, being honest. It really is. You know, and I believe you are being honest. I don't think you're trying to put on a show here. I mean, I know you have some things to say and whatnot, but I've got to get to the caller that's been waiting. I promise to get back to him, Tone. And what I'm also going to do, so people know, I have 41 minutes left of the show. I need to contact the Shelby County, Alabama Sheriff's Department, okay, on behalf of one of my friends. I need to get some answers here, and I'm going to do that
for
live on the air tonight, okay?
Oh, nice.
So, Tone, I'm not going to hang up on you, but I want to get the other gentleman, and if you want to stay on the line, you can. If there's anyone else who wants to join in tonight, press 1, okay? I know I had some callers that I connected tonight. They asked me to connect them, and then they hang up after about 10 minutes because I might not be talking about
Joseph,
what they
can
want.
I say,
yes.
One thing, Tone, to you too, brother. If you have a pen, I'd like for you to just write this down because it just takes too long for me to explain it on the radio, but
Go ahead.
Matthew 28:1. Mark 16:1.
Mark 16:1.
Luke 24:10.
Luke 24:10.
John 20:1. Just 20.
John 21.
First one. Yes.
Okay. What do you want to know about those verses,
of them,
real quick?
Each one of them is somebody different, going different story of finding the tomb of Jesus Christ. So that's
okay.
What I promised I'd give you this week.
Thank you. And it's something we'll talk
yeah,
about.
No problem,
great. That's
buddy.
Great. Thank you. Hang on.
But
Tony, don't go anywhere if you can, if you got time. I know if people have things to do,
sure.
I know they got to check their text messages, check their email, go on Facebook, and do all the other nonsense. But anyway, I got
to
connect
today,
this guy. I got to connect this gentleman. Sir, are you still there on the line, sir?
Yes.
Hey,
yes,
how are you?
Of
okay.
Course.
I gave you my promise. I gave you my promise. I'd get back to you.
Thank you very much. Because I'm the, reporter for Middle East. So better, we deal with each other in a good way so I can come to your show more often, my friend.
Well,
but,
thank you.
Anyway,
I appreciate that, sir. I do. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Because
go ahead. What's on your mind?
Anyway, this is the latest news on the wire. The Muslim woman making terrorist threats at a Los Angeles airport was detained and released by airport police. Then rearrested and taken into custody for saying, I will make sure we something America. I mean, do you want me to say what she
so
said?
You're making,
I mean,
okay, so you're making a so you're making a comparison of a Muslim woman who was talking basically nonsense at a Los Angeles airport. They let her go. But someone else who was talking about America was detained. Is that what you're saying?
No. She was detained. She's the one.
Oh,
she
was.
The one. Yeah. Because, first day, she...
All right, Tone. I got your point, Tone. Go ahead, sir.
She using F-words, et cetera, to the people, and she making threats. And then later on, first time they capture her, and they said, well, she's okay. We let her go because they don't want, if it was an American doing this, they would take him or her already to the FEMA camp. But this lady, because she's Muslim, they did arrest her first time, and they let her go. Because they cannot arrest, Muslim people anymore. And
so what
then,
you're saying, sir, is that because she's Muslim, we're afraid to detain her.
Right.
It's kind
That's
of
right.
like a politically
That's
correct
right.
kind. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. Let me ask Tone. Tone, what do you think about that? Do you think we have to be politically correct in this world today? Do you think the world is too much of a sissy? This gentleman just made a good point about a Muslim woman who was acting like a terrorist in an airport, making comments, but yet they didn't want to detain her because they didn't want to offend her because she was Muslim. What do you think about that, Tone?
If that is absolutely true, which it sounds a little different, like you have to use common sense when you hear anything. Honestly, story doesn't sound right, but if that was true, absolutely ridiculous.
So you agree because
the story is true because they arrested her first time and then she went again and started the same kind of misbehavior again, and this time they arrested her for good, so now she's going to be charged in court very soon in a few days, hopefully.
What did she do to get herself arrested again for good?
Okay. First time, she was using foul languages and threats against everyone, saying that, I will have a good flight, but you guys will not have a good flight. And,
well, that sounds threatening to me.
and she was also making comments against gays and lesbians, that gays and lesbians are not human. And and she mentioned gays and lesbians deserves to die, and then after the last sentence, after the last time, she said that she's going to bomb America. At that time,
get out of here. Really?
That's a terrorist attack.
That's a terrorist threat. That is not protected
right.
by the First
threat.
Amendment
so
of the United
right.
States.
So was the first
and
thing she said of crashing the plane.
Hang on, sir. Tone's got a question for you. Go ahead, Tone.
Good.
Oh, no. The only thing that I can see that she would be charged with is terrorist threats. Profanity, you can't get arrested for it at the airport. The only thing that the airport police can arrest you for in California and mostly all the West Coast airports is a felony. So it had to have been a terrorist threat. And in order for it to be a terrorist threat, three things have to be met. One of those has to be that she had the intention to do it and capable of succeeding in doing it. So bombing, saying she's going to bomb the United States, that definitely does fulfill all three of the
Really? Is that what the law really means on that, where if I say I'm going to blow up an airport, they have to make sure I'm able to do it before I could be arrested?
Well, you have to do it as like a sane or capable person. And it's not necessarily that you can do it, but the necessary the steps that they have to take in order to prevent you from doing it. So,
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead. Reply to that.
Yes. Yes. I have a question for all of you guys, all of your listeners. I mean,
go ahead.
What makes it that, you know, this lady, why did not arrest it completely on the first time? They arrested her halfly, you know, just, you know, a little bit, and then they release her. The second time they capture her for sure, for good, and they took her away from Los Angeles Airport. But the question is, if the person was a white American, or let's say if the person was a Christian, would they do the same thing? I don't think so, honey. They would take him or her at the very first word comes out of his or her mouth. But because she is from Somalia, it seems she's a Somalian, and then that's what happens. They give her so much layovers, and that's not right.
That's not right at all. You're right.
Homeland security is a homeland bullshit. Homeland bullshit. Go ahead, please.
That's right. Tone, what do you think about that? I mean, why should certain people receive special privileges? Why? And he's right. If you're a white person and you say nigger, you'll be arrested. But it's okay for a black person to call another man nigger, or for a Muslim to make terrorist threats. But if a white man was in an airport doing it, it would make national news. He makes a good point.
You know, I used to agree with your point on that, but those are two different things, so we can't get on both topics of the N-word or compared to calling somebody like a Haji
hang on. In a way, though, we're talking about political correctness here, where he's bringing up a point. Why should this Muslim, because she's a Muslim, be let go, be allowed to make these threats?
I mean,
but, of course, now she's been eventually arrested.
But
go ahead,
can
sir.
I say
but
something?
You got to remember,
you know,
that's on the officer. The officer has discretion. Every officer does. And officers utilize their discretion at different points. To necessarily say that always happens, you know that there's never an always. But from what we observe sometimes, it does seem that way. It does seem that it is that way in a lot of our eyes. But wait, hold on 1 second. But that's just, once again, it's like seeing a cloud, and you see shapes of a cloud, and you see like Mickey Mouse, or you see a boat, or you go to a gumball machine, and you put in a quarter 10 times, and they're different colored gumballs, and four in a row come out blue, and the first four in the row. Does that mean that it's some kind of special thing that's happening? No. We just like to set up.
Okay, all right. I see your point. Okay, I see your point, Tom, but we're talking about the law here. We're talking about
the times in which we live.
Okay, well, we're talking about a woman that comes to the airport and makes threats I'm going to have a good flight, but you're not. Well, what the hell does that mean? My plane's going to blow up? That's a threat.
You could take it that way. No, well, you could take it that way. Or you could say that she can easily – you got to wait till somebody says something or does something bad enough in order to really push the charges. Now, I want you to think about what you guys just said. If she would have said that and that went to court, she would have been dismissed. It would have been just thrown out because the judge really has to – his reputation is on the line. But now she has done something bad enough where you have all of this stuff against her, and she's being tried against it. If this is all true, once again, we're going off word of mouth.
Okay, well, we don't have to say. But go ahead, sir. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, yes. You see the Muslim woman at L.A. Expo, airport who made a series of threats while covering her face with Islamic veil or hijab as she proceeded to the check-in counter. And, I mean, something like this happens to Ataturk Airport or European Airport or Canadian Airport, they will cut her balls. I mean, you know.
Well, let me ask you this question. Hang on, guys. Let me ask you this question. Okay. Just say, for instance, she makes these threats and everybody does what Tone says. Well, you know, if we arrest her, she's going to get let off. I mean, okay, you know, what the hell? So we let her get on the plane. And guess what? She hijacks the plane and flies it into the Empire State Building. Now we got to, you know, whoa, why didn't we do something? How could we have prevented
You're
this?
You're absolutely right.
You know, right? Am I right?
Yeah, I agree with you, dude. You're right on that.
I mean, no, I mean,
well,
why?
Just,
why
you know, I'm using hypotheticals. I'm using hypotheticals. You're absolutely right,
yes.
Tone. Tone, I'm using hypotheticals, but at the same time, This is what happened with 9/11. We knew they were terrorists. We know a bit about their background. We know they went to flight school. You know, we knew they were a part of the Saudi Arabian government. And we know, but the thing of it is, we say, how can we stop this again from happening? Well, this gentleman just brought up an interesting point. You know, we're petrified about offending people. Is that right way to live, Tone? Is that a right way to live?
Well, There's certain ways we have to be careful on offending people. Now, you on the hand, Joseph, you have some thick skin, dude, and you listen to both sides. But I play devil's advocate with you, and I constantly do it to be annoying, especially to Sue. Anyway, I do it to be
understand.
A little annoying, but
what's
I want
Sue?
You to know not a lot of people understand that. We can be very offensive to people. In all honesty, any of your callers that call, I could be extremely offensive to them. And is that right, to be offensive to people?
Well, that's a good question, is it? That's what I posed to you, is it? Should we be politically correct not to offend people
to
for the
point.
Security and safety of our fellow Americans?
I don't think safety is number one when it comes to any human being. I don't think when it comes to safety, and that's the reason why we have laws such as terrorist threats. That, when it comes to safety, is absolutely correct. But her saying that she's going to have a good flight and they're not, if you're basing it off of that, it's context. We don't know how she said it. We don't know if she said it under her breath. We don't know if somebody actually heard that.
They heard it. They had him. He said, the person who reported is Tony, caught up with the woman after initial detainment. He wished her a safe flight, to which he said, I'm going to have a safe flight, but none of you going to have a safe slip. I will make sure we bomb. She also mentioned the gays and lesbians deserves to die. She even went so far as to say the attacks brought on by members of Islamic faith are not acts of terror, but the will of Allah, and that their God would eventually destroy America into pieces. About 2 hours later, the woman was rearrested again and taken into the full custody this time. And why she was let go after the first series of threats is unclear. Go ahead, please.
Go ahead, Tom. What do you think about that?
I think, once again, it's on context, though. That's what my whole point is I understand what you're saying, sir. But let me say it this way. First off, I thought she said, I'm going to have a good flight, but you guys aren't. Now I'm going to have a safe flight, and you guys aren't. Now, once again, context is very, very important. If she were to say, I don't care about the people behind me. I'm going to have a good flight. They're not. It's just her saying something. But if she meant it as a threat, which obviously with the other words that she said later on, we definitely connect those to the threat. But before, you can't necessarily say, once again, it's context. I could be absolutely wrong, but
I understand.
Really
I understand. I understand. It's a subject that we go round and round about. But hang on, sir. I really have. I'm going to keep you guys on the line if we could just remain, or I got to mute you. It's up to you. Whatever you want to do. But I've got to make this call here that I promised my friend.
Sure.
I have to keep my word. Okay. So real quick, well, we're contacting the sheriff's department, guys. But I want to get back to that conversation. We really do. It's very important. And this is what's happening in our society today. The gentleman who called in tonight, the new caller, he's bringing up a very, very interesting subject and point that we need to address as society. And I'm glad we were able to do it on the show tonight to start doing it. But I'm going to go ahead and call the sheriff's department here. So I promise to do that. So everyone just stay on the line here. And I got some other callers on the line also that want to chip in. But I'm sure this will be brief because they're not going to want to answer my questions. So let's just hang on and see what happens.
Absolutely quiet.
All right, very good.
Shelby County Sheriff's Office.
Yes, how you doing? My name is Joseph Gibson. I'm calling from Greensboro, North Carolina, and I'm a radio show host and from Blog Talk Radio. And I'm wondering about the policy you have as far as because there is supposed to be a policy between DHR and the Sheriff's Department. When a child is to be picked up because there is unsafe conditions, maybe for a child, what's your guys' policy? Do you have to obtain a warrant first, or can you just go pick that child up with social services?
All right. I don't know the answer to that question. I'm going to transfer you to Major Birchfield's line. If you'll leave him a message, he'll contact you back.
Okay, but Sheriff, real quick, who am I speaking to, if you don't mind?
This is Dispatch.
Dispatch. Well, do you have a name, or is your name Dispatch?
Yeah, we'll just go with Dispatch.
Okay, are you a sheriff or just a dispatcher?
No, just a dispatcher.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Go ahead and transfer me.
All right.
The Shelby County Sheriff.
As usual, I get no answers, folks. Just be patient. We're going to do this live on the line, so this way I'm covered also.
The person at extension 6286 is unavailable. Please leave your message after the tone. When done, hang up or press the pound key.
Yeah, press the pound key. Hello, how you doing, Major? My name is Joseph Gibson. I'm calling from Blog Talk Radio. The show is called Understanding the Times in Which We Live in Today. And I'm calling from Greensboro, North Carolina. Right now we're live on the air. I spoke to your dispatch. Of course, they could not give me any answers. My question is, I'm a little concerned. There's a news story going around, and you have a sheriff, Sheriff Edmonds, that states in a video that's on the internet right now that he does not need a warrant when executing a child pickup at a hospital and actually removing a newborn baby from a mother while she's breastfeeding that child. And the sheriff actually states that he does not need a warrant to do so. And I've looked this up, and the policies, there's supposed to be a policy between social services and the county sheriff's department in every district. There is a policy. I looked up the policy and the rule, and there is supposed to be a warrant or some sort of pickup order. And I'd like to, some sort of explanation on this. And if you can give me a call back, I would greatly appreciate it. Or you can email me your answer. My email is joegibsonishome@yahoo.com. And my show broadcasts Sundays and Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the phone number is 657-383-0616. And as a citizen of this country, I demand an answer. You're our sheriffs. You're our elected officials. You're our elected law enforcement. And for a sheriff to state that he does not need a warrant to snatch away a child, a newborn child, from a mother that is breastfeeding her child because he is with social services, I believe is a disgrace. And if I'm referring actually real quick here to the article that's been published and read by over 1 million people It's Alabama judge threatens health impact news reporter. And this reverts back to this story if you want to look it up. Like I said, you may contact me, email me, but I hope I receive a response from you. And I have many, many listeners on the line right now listening. I'm contacting you live on the air. So, sir, God bless you, and I hope to hear from you very soon. God bless. Take care. Okay, everyone, he's been disconnected. So we're back live on the air. I hope everyone's still there. I didn't disconnect everyone. Yeah, is everyone still there?
Nope, still here.
Okay, Tony, you're still there. Very good. I had other callers. Don't get scared. You can press one again. I'm not talking to the sheriff anymore. But anyway, this story, like I said, begins with the story that I opened up with tonight. My friend Terry LaPointe, who is a news reporter and actually is an advocate for mothers and fathers around the country whose children have been kidnapped from them. For no reason. And I've researched a lot of these stories, and they're disgusting. Now, look, we all know social services. Look, we all know there's children abused around the country. We know children are in bad situations. And someone needs to step in. But do we really need the government getting involved? What happened to our communities? What happened to our families? What happened to our neighbors? Well, I'll tell you. We already know. But anyway, Tone, you're my only caller left on the line. Everyone else has dropped. Well, I have other people that are listening. Listen, everyone, if you want to press one, if you want to comment on tonight's show or have something you want to talk about, press one now, and I will connect you. Okay? The number is 657-383-0616. If you're in the chat room, call that number, and I'll get you on live. I know I've had a rotation of numbers tonight. Of people that want to, and here's one right now. So, Tone, hang tight. I've kept you on. Go ahead, Meriden, Connecticut. Go ahead.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How's everybody this evening?
We're doing okay.
Awesome.
That's good. Hi, Tone. Hi, Joe. Hey, yeah, you know, you're talking about the law and everything, and I'm not an attorney, thank God, but you know, you're all right, especially Tone. Because the officers do have discretion. But you know what? If I said I was going to kill the president, that. You know,
go ahead.
Really
anyone with background noise. Anyone with background noise, I got. Please. Go ahead.
If I said I was going to go after the president and kill the president, he's not in imminent danger at that point. But if I said that standing in front of his limo or something, then he would be. But then again, that doesn't hold true either. It's all in the discretion.
So what do you mean by discretion? I don't understand. I don't understand your point. If you're standing in front of his limo and you tell President so-and-so, I want to kill you, you're telling me that that's not a threat and cannot be prosecuted?
If you're standing in front of his limo, yes. If I'm saying it from 700 miles away, no, he's not in imminent danger. But then again, there was a gentleman on our radio called Hal Turner. He threatened two judges 900 miles away, and the federal government went after him, arrested him, and threw him in prison for a couple of years. And so it's all in the discretion, as Tone says.
Okay. What do you think about that,
yep.
Tone? And real quick, before you answer, listen, people, if you want to comment, if you have a question, you have to press the number one, only one time. Don't press it four times, okay, because you're going to confuse the hell out of me. Because I got 45 people on the line, okay? So it's not that hard to follow instructions. Just press it one time, and I will connect you, I promise. But go ahead, Tone, answer his question.
Oh, no,
statement.
I believe that, yeah, it matters on how you say it. I think he hit the nail on the head.
And like other people tell you, at this point, what difference does it make? You see, she just lied, but you know what? Nothing happened to her.
Wait, who's she? Who's she? What are you talking about?
Hillary Clinton, when she was in front of the congressional committee testifying and she screamed out or whatever. At this point, what difference does it make?
All right, yeah, you're talking about Benghazi. Yeah, I understand that. Okay, well, yeah,
right.
We've all heard that. But anyway, listen, the fact of the matter is that I was talking tonight. Look, folks, and Joe and Tone, I want you to comment on this. What right does a judge have to pull someone off the street into his courtroom and tell them they need to play ball and keep their mouth shut, especially a member of the press? Where are we, Nazi Germany, folks?
I don't believe
she was in the hallway. She was in the hallway.
I don't believe the judge has discretion over the hallway. It's once you walk through those doors that he did.
Okay, what do you think, Tone?
Wait, I'm confused. What do you mean he doesn't have? Okay, hold on. I'm getting confused. Really quick. Why did? What did she do exactly?
All right, Tone. You may have met, in the beginning of the show.
Yeah,
I read
no,
an article
I've heard it,
about...
but. I have the article. I was reading it along with you. It was on some kind of medical something page.
Medical
I saw the
yes.
So I was reading it along with you. What exactly did she do, though? If you can just explain it to me.
Nothing. She was there in the hallway as support for the family, as a citizen, not even as a reporter. She did nothing.
Okay, she did nothing. Then I don't understand what the playing ball had to do with anything. Then, I mean, if
okay,
the
I'm
going
to explain. Okay, okay. Well, let me explain it to you. The state, okay, is prosecuting this family, and the state it plays dirty, and they know they must have seen her in the hallway. Common sense. They must have seen that she had support in the courtroom, and someone obviously saw this reporter, even though she wasn't acting as a reporter on their story, only in support of the family because she's befriended them, and she used her, and she did report former stories on this family in this case. So that's what she did, Tone.
But why would he say play ball? I don't understand what that means. Like it's a whole confusing thing.
Exactly. What's that? Sounds like a threat to me. Tone, if I call you
but,
up
I mean,
and I
if
say,
she's
call,
standing
call into
in
my,
the hallway
Tone.
Not doing a thing and it – oh, sorry.
Tone, if I call you up tonight and I say call into my radio show, Tone, and you better make sure you play ball, what the hell does that mean, right?
I don't know.
Right, you ask me.
if somebody's turning around and doing something wrong, a judge does have the right – in order, because he's in charge of that courtroom. And when something is on the record, he doesn't have an opportunity to stop it and turn around and tell somebody unless they're directly disturbing the court. But if they're indirectly
exactly.
disturbing the court.
She was not even in the courtroom.
That way he would have an opportunity to say it.
But she was not in the courtroom. She was in the hallway.
That's what I mean. Indirectly, like if she's turning around and giving legal advice or if she's telling the family member to do something that seems like it might be disrespectful to the court. I'm just going off a hypothetical. I don't really know what happened. That would make sense why the judge would say, hey, look, I'm doing this, play ball. But
Tone, let's use common sense. She's a reporter for a national magazine. Obviously, she's not going to do anything stupid or crazy. And like she says in the article, she was there in a T-shirt and jeans. She had no intention of entering the courtroom. She was only there as moral support for the family. However, if she was there as acting press, the judge still has no right to issue a gag order. And you can look up many, many Supreme Court decisions on this. Okay? The press, there's no way, where are we? Nazi Germany? Where a judge could say, nobody talks about this case. We're keeping it quiet. Well, good God, what if that was you in the defendant's chair, Tone? Wouldn't you want people knowing what the hell's happening to you? You know,
that's what I did.
Well, you know,
yeah, well,
I'm using common sense.
Really bad. I don't want everybody knowing.
Well, okay, but the point of it is everything is.
No,
honestly,
you know, I wouldn't. I mean, let's say I was drinking and driving, and I hit Sue. I wouldn't want people to know that I did something stupid like that. You know what I mean? I would kind of be embarrassed.
Well, okay. Well, that's part of the crime, embarrassment, isn't it? So you don't do it again. Darn. I mean,
necessarily. No, because you're innocent until proven guilty, and that's already – it's not one of the key points in punishment. Punishment would be restitution to the family. You know, serving a jail sentence. You know, there's like five
different. Well, that's hang on. Next caller. I got one other person here because we're running short on
time.
Sure, no
problem.
I want to make sure I get to everybody. Next caller, go ahead. Is this the same caller I had on, or just Mike?
Yeah, this is Mazda.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry I lost you earlier. I'm sorry. I didn't know because you're calling from unrestricted numbers, so and usually Mike from Wisconsin does that. But go ahead, sir. What do you think about the conversation thus far? And this is important because I want to address this. This woman's a reporter. She should have the right to report, and that's freedom of the press. You know, and if we don't have the press, folks, Tone, if we, and Joe and Meredith and my caller here, if we don't have the press reporting the facts, then how the hell are we supposed to know if someone's being victimized? You know?
Then
well,
we don't have
the press reporting not facts like Fox News, and people get that information, and it's causing a real stir. It's the same as liberals listening to their crap, too. I mean,
okay, what do you think, sir? Tone? Okay, what do you think, sir?
If we don't have a freedom, basically we will not have a country left. And
if we don't have a borderline, that's right.
We don't have a country left either,
that's
too. So freedom and borderlines goes together.
That's right. Well, the First Amendment is the most important amendment in our Constitution. Why else did the Founding Fathers put it there? And if you don't have the First Amendment anymore and they take it away, then why did they put the Second Amendment there? So we can fight back for our First Amendment.
That's right.
But listen, you know, but Tone, I understand you just said embarrassment. But look, if you're out drinking and driving, the public has a right to know that you should when you commit a crime, the public has a right to know who's in their community and what you did wrong. You know, that's all I'm trying to say here. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not trying to say we should go out there and hold a parade and say, nah, look what he did. You know, what I'm saying is, you know, we have a right as a community to know if I have a sex offender living next door to me. If I have a guy, you know, if I have a gentleman who's driving up and down my road who has three DWIs on his record, and I see him out driving at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm coming home from a late night movie with my kids, and he's out driving around, well, I need to know because I want to be careful because I don't want him smashing into me and killing me, you know, because he has a past record. I mean, you know, that's all I'm saying here, you know.
Yeah, but can I say a new story?
Go ahead, you first, sir, and then Tone. I got to get Tone in there,
okay.
But go ahead, sir.
Muslim imam fired after hospital found a cucumber inside his rectum. An imam from Central Anatolian province in Turkey has been suspended from duty after he being hospitalized with pieces of cucumber in his rectum. The 39-year-old imam working in Kayseri applied to the emergency room of a hospital in the early morning hours of June 23rd with severe abdominal pain and bleeding. Doctors reportedly took pieces of cucumber out of his rectum. An official diagnosis in incident was bleeding in the anus and rectum and foreign object in the rectum. So it's very interesting.
All right, Tone. Sir. So what's your point on this? On what you're reading? What's your point?
They accuse gays and lesbians has no right to exist and die, and themselves are master of the gays. And
So what you're saying is that this is a Muslim country, it's a Muslim region, and they're stating that gays and lesbians basically have no right to even medical attention, and they should be put to death, correct?
Right, but their imam or their leaders, they found a cucumber in his rectum. So so he doesn't
Okay. No, so they exposed that. They exposed that on purpose.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, now I get it. All right, listen, I've got 5 minutes left. I appreciate my new caller. I'll keep you, but Tone, you got 2 minutes to close, and then I got to do my closing, okay? I'll keep you all on the line, but go ahead, Tone, real quick.
Sure. I appreciate that. I would really think about what the man just said about the homosexuals in other countries being discriminated against. And also think about you live in a country that discriminates against homosexuals as well. So I know it's awkward. Honestly, still to this day, I don't feel 100% comfortable when I see two men kiss. I don't. It really does. It bothers me in certain ways. But that's their right. Their right in this freedom in this country. And people say that their freedoms are being taken away because of homosexuality and stuff, because it takes away the traditional family. That's ridiculous. And it's just as much rhetoric as it is in Muslim countries and the Sharia law. And we all have to learn how to stop putting our religion on other people, stop trying to put what we believe on other people. Sometimes people just want to be who they are, and we shouldn't be judging. And one thing that Jesus said, stop judging. And, I mean, if you're going to be a hypocrite, be a hypocrite, but be honest about it. And if you're going to search out the truth, search out the truth and be honest about it. Don't try to search something out that you've already have a predetermined agenda with. And that's it, brother, and I hope you have a nice week.
All right. Hey, thanks, Tone. I appreciate that. And the new caller that called in tonight, because we're short on time now.
This is Mazda.
Okay,
thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And you're welcome. And I will remember your name and your number. And you're welcome. I broadcast on Sundays and Thursdays at 6 p.m. East. And I appreciate your time. But, look, we have a lot to talk about. There's a lot of things to talk about.
And
look, understanding the times in which we live today, it's a big subject, and that's what I wanted. I want everyone to contribute and put their comments in. I know it's emotional, and sometimes we try to make a point, and it's like Sue. I had a couple other callers there. They get frustrated because if I don't get to them, and after they have to say what they got to say, they hang up. Hey, I understand. Do what you got to do. You'll get a chance, though, I promise. Everyone gets a chance. You can ask Tone. You can ask the new caller. You can ask Joe from Meriden, Connecticut.
I appreciate you so much, man. What's your name anyway?
Well, thank you. My name is Joseph Gibson, okay?
Joseph. Thank you,
Joseph,
Mr. Joseph,
yes.
From bottom of heart, and thank you for your value time. And I'm, again, from Middle East Reporter, and I will do my best to give you the news without the news that you never heard about it.
Well, that's great. I appreciate that, sir. That's good. We need new voices and new news. You're absolutely right. And I'll welcome you back. It's just like Tone. He's welcome always on this program. He's got a voice on this program.
Thank you, Mr.
It's good
Tony
to hear from new people. Sundays,
thank you, Mr. Tony
6 p.m. Okay. Yeah, well, he appreciates that, I'm sure. But anyway, listen, Sundays, 6 p.m. East. Thursdays, 6 p.m. East. The phone number is 657-383-0616. Thank you for everyone and all the supporters tonight. God bless. Take care. It was a great show. We got heard from different people tonight. And listen, take care. And I want everyone out there. You also have a voice. It doesn't matter. And my guest, Antone, hey, tell your friends. They got a problem. They need something addressed. You heard me call the sheriff's department tonight. I'll put people on the spot. Okay?
Perfect.
God bless America.
I'm with
God
you guys,
America.
Okay?
God bless
God
America.
Bless. Take
the
care.
Land of beauty.
God bless.
Bye-bye. But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
You're in the episode.